B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for the Bring It Heat Live, brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. To leave a message for Anthony, call 610-771-9751. Now, bring the heat.
E-A-T-L-E-S Eagles!
Alright, what are we looking at?
Come on, you stubborn Sixers fans. Get a hold of yourself. 10-9-8-76ers. Go look at Kawhi Leonard's first 3 years in the league. Ben Simmons dominates him in rebounds and assists and has more points scored per game. Get a hold of yourselves.
I love the pirate. There you go, brother. Hey.
Somebody tell me, why does Brett Brown keep putting Neto in the game? Look, I like Neto, but you should put Trey Burke in first before you put Neto. What kind of experiment is Brett Brown doing? If this team doesn't get to at least the number three spot or two spot, Brett Brown is out of here.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, listen, he knows that this is an important year when it comes to where you're, what you're achieving. But I agree with you. I'm not a Neto guy. I'd rather have Trey Burke play.
Yo, cuz, quick question. I know how you say it's hard to do an 82-game season. Well, the Bulls, when they won, they were like, what, 72 and like 10? Like some crazy record. I mean, how do they do that day in and day out? I mean, I know they were prolific and good, but I bet you Jordan was cracking the whip on them. That's what you need. You need a couple players to crack the whip. We're coach. This today's players is lazy.
Well, see, you're right. It's a different time. So in the Players Tribune, Andrew, print that out for me, please. In the Players Tribune piece, Joel talks about, you know, he basically is telling Shaq and Charles, and you can see he kind of played them a little bit, right? Like, you know, he's a smart dude, and he played those guys a little bit. And, yeah, he's basically telling you, like, dude, it's not, the game's different now. And we can say what we want. Wow, well, how do those guys D up? And those guys, and like the Bad Boys and the Pistons. Well, the pace was so much slower. So it was not easier to play defense, but a lot easier to shut teams down because of pace and the slow pace that was being played. It was a different game. Even though, listen, I love Mike to death, man. You know, to me, nobody's better than Jordan. But that was still a slower pace. That was, a different game. And he's not wrong. Like, he can't play in the post every possession. He just can't.
I'm just so frustrated and angry with the Sixers. They're the sixth seed. Name me the last time the sixth seed has won an NBA championship. How about... Never! Okay.
Yeah, that's dumb. You lost it for a week. You're out for a week.
He's on probation.
He's in the penalty box. I'm going to start giving penalties out. Good. Like, I'm going to be a linesman.
Instead of a five-minute major, it's a five-day major for a full week.
That's a major penalty. That's so not
a
minor.
He's not a minor.
If it was a minor, it would be 2 days.
Yes.
But that's a major.
Okay.
To say... Middle of the season, without Joel Embiid, they're a sixth seed. How was the finals? That's dumb. So 5 minutes in the penalty box or 5 days in the penalty box for OK guy for being colossally stupid.
I bet you a lot of people today are going to call about Fultz. You know, he is playing well. You know what will go down in history for me as the bigger disappointment is not taking Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is exactly what this team needs. He can play off the ball, he can shoot, he can defend, and guess what? When Ben's on the bench, he can run point.
SGA. Did you see SGA, was it last week?
20 rebounds.
Oh my God.
Triple-double.
It was ridiculous.
Youngest player to ever do that.
Wow.
I kick and play.
No.
Yeah. He can play now.
SGA can play now. He's right, brother. Damn.
Anthony, it's Gabriel. Congratulations to Mr. Howard Carmichael on his induction into this year's Pro Football Hall of Fame. Much deserved and well overdue. And may I be the first to suggest that no Philadelphia Eagles player ever wears the number 17 again, especially if you're a thieving rat like the one who wears it now.
Yes, Gabriel, yes, I'm with you. I'm with you, rat. Doesn't deserve to wear 17. Have his name on the back at 17. It's heinous. Next.
Harold Carmichael, 45 years old, and always thought you should be in the Hall of Fame. Congratulations. I'm very, very happy for you. Alshon Jeffrey, take off his jersey, you rat. Peace.
I love it. That's awesome. Peace.
What a win for the Orange and Black. Jake Voracek. Let's go. Let's go. S-L-Y-E-R-S. Let's go.
That was a great win last night for Flyers. On the road, they don't lose in that building, St. Louis. They own the Flyers in that building. And that move, that hesitation, and then he buried it. It was fun.
Yo, yo, the Tunis. Yo, 97 fam. I am out on Brent Brown thinking that this is a shooting team. This is not a shooting team. Stop shooting three. But anyway, we got the dub. Andrew played the song.
Look at that. Anytime the dub comes, the song follows. There was Bring the Heat. Couldn't play the song for a little bit. This is good. All right. Everybody sit tight. Tony and Ross and Jay and everybody hang in because we got a real treat. I always talk about this guy. He is one of the great writers of our time. I highly recommend you read him. Go back and read all the archives. He's amazing. And he's one of our own who lives in South Carolina now. And he's an incredible, he actually was amazing because he actually worked in Philadelphia, formerly of Sports Illustrated. Gary Smith joins us. Gary!
How's it going, Anthony?
Hey, brother.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah. We can't replicate the entire conversation that we had. But let's try. Let's try.
People don't have 2 hours here.
I know. I swear, you and I could have gone on for even more hours.
Do it apart,
right? Because we're so utterly fascinated by this team, and we share that innate curiosity.
You've heard of the land of a thousand legs. This is the band of a thousand riddles, this team.
Yes, 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 yes. So let's begin with, you have watched every game. You're down there, you're fixated by them. And where are you here at this moment after they get the win? Again, it was at home, not on the road, last night. Where are you with them?
You know, I could give you great arguments why they're going to be in the NBA Finals. I mean, every matchup in the Eastern Conference playoffs, if you just look at that matchup, I have to pick them. Now I'll go to the other side of the board, and I have never seen a team that with a 333 road winning percentage make it to the NBA Finals. I've never seen a team that just, you know, looks so ineffectual, so awkward in a half court set, make it to the NBA Finals. But I can give you now 5 reasons why, you know, this team isn't tough enough psychologically, why it's not smart enough, basketball IQ, you know, and we can go on and on into the deeper reasons why, but why this team could, I'd love to challenge our audience to, you know, the audience there to come up with a team that's this, you know, falls down so hard on its face in critical moments. And it's, you know, this, you know, challenged on the road that's made it to an NBA Finals or won one. I mean, as soon as you point it out, find it for me, maybe I'll feel a little better. But then I keep going back to, I pick them in every single Eastern Conference playoff round. There's no compelling reason why they shouldn't beat all three or four of those teams, you know, that they'd be facing.
Right. And it's their incredible uniqueness that, and listen, you've been around sports, for a long time. You have gotten into some of the incredible stories in every sport and some of the incredible figures. There's really not a team like them because of this, of their uniqueness, of that they could and probably should beat every matchup, including Milwaukee.
Yeah, absolutely. They're built for, you know, as we all know, for defense, gritty, you know, it's just bizarre. I mean, here's a team that's built on grit, determination, character right now. But here's where the conundrum start, you know, occurring is at the very center of that team is as a player whose grit, consistency of effort is highly questionable. He's not as engaged too often as he needs to be, and so it's like
you're and building this is a Joel
value system. Yeah. Sorry for not stating the obvious, but anyway, yeah. You're building a team with a core value system of that, and yet the burning sun at the center of that value system doesn't exhibit those properties, those values. So that puts Brett in a real conundrum. Because you're the center of the best player on a team radiates a value system that affects the other players. And so how do you hang this identity and brandish it on your forehead, which was the proper one? I mean, Brett got that right. I loved in the offseason that he made that kind of switch what this team was going to be. But, you know, that was predicated on his star player, the guy at the very center of it all. You know, exhibiting that as well and radiating it to the teammates. They feed off of Joel, whether he, you know, intends that or not. That's just the nature of a team and a star player. They feed off him, and the ripple effect of that affects everyone. So if they see Joel kind of on the court shrugging and you know, just some body language sometimes and just not engaging and not being the shot blocker for long periods of games now, unlike the way he was in his first 2 years in the league, they're going to feel that, and that it affects their level of, you know, frenetic. Almost you want that defense to be for large periods of games, and it just ripples off. There's no way around it. And I mean, it's interesting too because, you know, it's a kind of in some ways there's some similarities between what happened in Philly with Larry Brown and Allen Iverson. Iverson was the core player, the central figure.
Right.
In the drama, and Larry Brown was a coach who was all about, as you well know, playing the right way, practicing the right way. Everything is about doing it the right way. It's how you did it, how you went about it day by day, added up to where you were going to be at the end. And Iverson bought into none of that. And so you had this incredible conundrum, you know, and that was so fascinating to me that I did a long story about those two and that partnership.
Yes.
And they went as far as you could possibly go. I mean, it was unbelievable. That when you had that total paradox at the center of a team, that you could go that far despite it, but it ultimately was always going to betray them and trip them in the end. And that's what you kind of feel about this team, that, yeah, they could, should, you know, go far with this array of talent, but there's still this paradox at the center of it.
But you know,
maybe two paradoxes. There's actually two paradoxes.
Well, it's funny.
Anyway,
No. But you're right, and we're talking to Gary Smith, incredible writer. There's two of them, so there's two flawed, you know, stars, superstars here. So you have Allen. Imagine if you had another Allen, right? Who had his own flaws. So you have these two guys and you chronicle Joe and some of his, you know, shortcomings. And even in that Players Tribune, in that piece where, did you see it?
I have not read it yet. Is there a sentence you want to hang this on? Give me a, I'm going to read it.
Because it's kind of stuff we talked about. He really plays, you know, that stuff with Shaq and Charles. He played them. He played them. He basically played them. Like, yeah. Like,
in the piece?
Yes. And he's like, listen, I'll never be, you know, it's 2020. He's basically saying, listen, old man, this game, you don't recognize this game. And this is how it should be. And he's trying to paint the picture of the game in 2020. And then you have the whole band who is tough, who you can count on every night, who is a great defensive player. Think about this for a second. He's the exact opposite of Allen Iverson, right? He's tall. Yeah. He's an incredible defender. He's at practice. He is a passer, right?
Yeah.
The only thing he doesn't do.
Defensive intensity, unlike Iverson.
Right.
However, the warriorship and the crunch of games, you know. And
right, well, he don't have the stones that AI had in that sense. Right. But he's as tough as AI, and he'll play, you know, as long as AI will. He's got the same, you know, Energizer Bunny kind of, only at 6'10".
Yeah.
Except he won't shoot.
He won't shoot, and in the fourth quarter of the game, especially close games, I mean, if we're not being able to see this on the road against, you know, the Mavericks or the Pacers, how the hell are we going to see a guy who's ready to step up and to the moment in the fourth quarter of an NBA, you know, playoff game or, God forbid, a champion, you know, finals round, you know, down one, 30 seconds left, you got the ball. You know, at this point, the opposition could basically forget about him. You know,
or decide to foul him
at some point. But anyway, let's not go there too. But anyway, you know, because he's not taking the steps toward learning how to own that moment and step into that moment. If we saw those steps, you know, even baby steps, you know, in that direction in a fourth quarter in crunch time, we could start to have a little more confidence. But because he hasn't given us even a little tiny taste of that, like, how the hell can you, you know, go into this thing with anything but deep unease.
Deep unease, except when they're together, right? And they're playing, and they're playing against the Bucks, and it's Christmas Day, and everything's going well. They're telling.
Yeah, but right now, but they're showing us that they're a front running team. They can catch a wave and ride away.
Yeah.
There's so many, you know, the NBA playoffs are like these little. It's like these little, it's a microwave and ties like back and forth, and everything is gut churning, and it's tight. The defense on both sides is tight. It's like a game where your poise, your toughness, your discipline to know who you are and to run it despite adversity and to ride through adversity. It's not riding a wave of 18,000 people going wild while you make a steal and you come down on the break and you slam it. And it's like, it's just not that creature. So, You start to show that you can handle that creature, that playoff beast, when you go on the road in front of an enemy crowd and you don't have these huge lapses and you own last 3 minutes of games, or at least show that you're capable in those moments. And it's not a hot potato with the ball being jacked up with 1 second left on the shot clock. I mean, that's what we're not seeing. So that's why it's so hard, despite their definite should be advantage over every team that play in the Eastern Conference. We don't see any of those things that we know deep down are the make or break aspect of playoff basketball.
And you're right. Everything you say, you're dead on. There's only one little caveat, is that we saw glimpses last year in the playoffs. So let's go to Brooklyn. The game one, Ben was horrible in game one. He got booed. He got ripped. And he got mad afterwards. He complained about the fame. He was a baby after it. But what did he do? He responded in a big way. He had a great game. He responded against Toronto, the eventual champion. They had their ups and downs in the series. And think about it, their best player who failed them by not even playing in a game because of his stomach and Chick-fil-A yeah. and staying up yeah. too late or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It takes four bounces in Kawhi Leonard to beat him. Or else they're going to beat Milwaukee and they're going to beat in the finals. And who knows? The injuries that happened to Golden State befall them too again. I don't know. They're that close to being a champion.
Definitely Ben can unfurl a great game, but it'll probably be at this point, the evidence says it's going to be a front first half loaded great game.
Yeah, yeah.
And we all know that, half of these playoff games or a third of them at least are going to come down to just nut crunching time. And where will he be? Have we seen him just come forward in that moment? And so that, that's one of the great questions. Will Embiid be in shape, going into the playoffs? Will we just see him lumbering back and forth in a way that we didn't see him always lumbering in the first few years in the league? Will he be quick off his feet? The fast twitch on the shot blocking, which we've seen a decrease in, question after piled upon question.
I know. Where does the playoff run last year rank or mean? What does it mean in heading to this year?
But I think one of the big differences, and you said some good stuff, but Jimmy and Redick. I mean, Redick is a tough warrior. I mean, he's the guy. He missed a decent amount of late game shots. Let's not go into idyllic, nostalgia about him. But you never feel like he's shrinking from taking the shot. He's battle tested, and he'll give you some grit on defense, even though he won't give you defensive talent. But Butler. Butler's fearless. I mean, having the fearless guy in that last second, who's totally unafraid of going to the foul line. Totally afraid of having the ball in his hands and putting it on the floor. It's a little bit of a pit in the gut, and I'm sure it is in the coaches.
Pit, you're right. It is a pit in the gut. You're right. I that part. As I think about it now, and it's true. Unless like Tobias. Where do these other guys fit in supporting cast?
I totally get your question, and it's like the supporting cast is still, these are the new guys on the block, relatively, and there's part of them. There's still some reticence you can feel about.
Yeah.
I just try to step in and own this.
Yes,
I mean some of them. They're not totally built to step in and own every game. I mean, Tobias is a wonderful player, but he doesn't have the dynamism. He's just not dynamic enough offensively to definitely create a shot, whether it's from 25 or to the basket whenever he wants, or especially in those late game crunch situations where the defense is just clamped. And obviously Horford's not that kind of player either. They both could do well in those last couple minutes and give you something important. But I think the guys on the edges of this still know. And then you, as a player, you pick this up in a million different ways in an organization. Who the two big daddies are. You pick
yes.
so many ways.
Yes.
Just from people in the front office, people even the kids who are helping out, in the locker room. Like it just exudes in every which way. These two players get what they want, and you just pick that up. And it becomes very hard to walk into a new franchise for in the first year, or even in the second year, and have even a little tiny question. Where's the line that I'm not supposed to cross, or where? What's my territory? What's the big dog's turf? And I'm not really supposed to go there.
As you can see, Tobias basically said that. He basically said it. It's and then you have Horford, who doesn't know where he's supposed to be.
Right, and. And so you got this question of these are questions of identity. Who do we go to and what do we do? What do we know or how to, where we butter our toast and, what kind of bread we're using in crunch time? And because Embiid is continually disappearing for injury and then coming back in, way less than ideal
physical condition, the team never is, can never forge, like, this is our identity. You know, I think they will have a defensive identity, and that's the one point of confidence, is I do believe in those playoff rounds, they will come out with defensive intensity, and teams will wither at teams on the perimeter. There's open threes and things they're used to getting. You know, and the Sixers, when they turn that intensity on, they even take away the pick and roll out there on the perimeter in a way that they don't when they're in lapsing and just kind of going through the motion mode. So they're going to, that's the one, probably my biggest point of confidence, is that teams offensively and guys who even come out smoking in the first quarter, like we've seen Kemba Walker, but by the fourth quarter, those guys often had disappeared from the games. And so that's my greatest point of confidence. But we all know in our hearts that there's even despite that defensive intensity, that there are going to be tight games despite it, and it's going to come.
It'll be white knuckle.
Yes.
It'll be white knuckle.
So you know, can this team be good enough to win defensively? That their dominance and advantage on defense, with 48 blistering moments of intensity on that end, can that overcome the deep identity problems this team has offensively, and the lack of dynamism offensively, and the lack of a guy who just doesn't care about missing foul, or just is just, you know, just fearless and is willing to miss in the last minute.
Yeah, what's amazing is, if we talk to Gary Smith of Sports, formerly Sports Illustrated, incredible writer. Brett Brown was asked, "Who are you guys?" And I was sitting there in the hallway in Indiana, and he said, quote, "Philadelphia hard, defense, blue collar." And it's funny because he wants to be, and I get it,
that's
right?
That's what he wants to be. I get it. Yeah, it's a little bit of him putting his wanna on it, on the stamp on this. And you got to do that as a coach. So, I mean, however, you know, is this the guy at the center of a piece of it, that Philadelphia hard, blue-collar
guy? Right. Are those guys, like, so not shooting is not Philadelphia hard, right? So, like, not being active in the fourth quarter and missing a game because of a tummy ache, that's all not Philadelphia hard.
Yeah.
It's being amazing.
Ready, preparing yourself away from the court the way you got to be prepared, you know, that's all part of Philadelphia heart and the team building grit and determination and effort. That's all part of it.
It's amazing, man. Listen, we got to go deeper into, and you're great at this, we got to go deeper into the psyche of the two guys, those two stars of the play, Embiid and Simmons, next week, brother. All right.
Surely. All right.
It's unbelievable. Because it's not like this is why we're fascinated by them, because they're so unique. We can't even think of a team like them.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. And we don't have time to go into the next phase. But anyway, you just cut me off, squeeze my windpipe, and I'll shut up.
I love you, brother. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Hang in there, man.
You too, brother. There he is, Gary Smith on the Comcast Business Hotline. He's really, really insightful, really thoughtful. And this conversation about this team, it's why they dominate the airwaves, because they are so interesting. By the way, some news. Carlos Beltran steps down as the manager of the Mets. How about that, Junis?
Good.
Due to the cheating scandal.
Which isn't a big deal.
That's Cause Radio with the Junis.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's go to Tony and Glenside. Tone, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tone?
What's going on, man?
What's happening, buddy?
I want to ask you a question, Ant.
Yeah, buddy.
Ben Simmons' skill set. He's a great defender, right?
Yes.
Great rebounder, right?
Yes.
Scores around the basket from 5 feet and in, right?
Yes. Great passer. Great court vision. Passer. Yes.
Great court vision, right?
Yes.
He's a power forward, man. And I'm going to tell you exactly
but he
why.
Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you why he should play power forward. In this day and age, this is positionless basketball. Just because you call him the power forward doesn't mean he's a power forward. Basically, what you're doing is you're playing on that power forward to get another shooter on the court. Let's say you start Thybul. You bring Horford off the bench. Now you start Thybul with him at power forward. You got another shooter and another defender up top. Now Ben still can play point guard or offense. Now the guys that stick in him are slower. Okay, he can blow right by those guys. But you got Thybul on the court that can shoot and stretch the floor more. Look, man.
See, the problem is couple things. One, Thybul's not a lockdown shooter yet. He's not.
But I'd rather for him to shoot than Horford take 9-10 threes a game.
Horford is lost
out there.
But here's the thing, though. Without Embiid, Tone, shouldn't he? And this is a question. This is not a statement. Yeah. Without Embiid, shouldn't he be more comfortable? That's what I'm not understanding.
No, because it's Brett Brown's offense. It's a lot to do with Embiid, but it's also the offense. I've never seen a team that don't shoot. We're known for not shooting. We're not a jump shooting team. But we always shoot jump shots. We don't go to the hole at all. It's like we go to the line. We go to the offense. I mean, we go to the foul line 8 times a half. That's way too little. I mean, we should be going to the hole as big as we are. Pause. As tall as we are, we should be going to the hole, going to the rack, getting fouled.
Yeah, listen. It's bully ball. I agree. Getting fouled. I agree with that. By the way, we are bringing the heat. Always a lot of fun, which was it was very good today. By the way, Tunis. Always a lot of fun. Bring the heat line. Brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Winter's here. It's going to be cold this weekend. If your heating system is not evenly or efficiently heating your home, you need help. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer in your area today. All right. Let's take a quick TO. We'll come back just a moment. Try to squeeze as many people in as possible. Mikey Miss is coming up. Top of the hour. Tyrone and Nat. We'll talk to everybody straight ahead. Let's talk about Parks Casino, shall we? Oh, yes. Love the Parks Casino. The 4 for 4 app will be here tonight. Cousins Corner. Make sure you're tuned in right at 6 o'clock. We'll dive in. I think we're going to do a big football night tonight. Dive into the championship games. So we'll dive into some football. Of course, the updated lines on the Parks Casino website. Just go to parkscasino.com/PA on Android. Download the app, iOS, at Tennessee, Kansas City, Chiefs 7.5. There's getting me some love for the Titans. I'm all about the Chiefs. I like them. I think the word Titans. Listen, I love Derrick Henry. Chugging. I think the Chiefs win by double digits. Niners and Packers. Niners still fat 7.5 over Green Bay. That's a big line. I know you're on the go pack go. I might be on the Niners. Yes. Go to Parks. Either way, you can have some fun. Check out all the props. Always a great time. Parks Casino, the 444 Casino. Get over there. Don't forget, you can collect your $500 free bet. Your free bet is a site credit. Use promo code QB500. That's your 4 for 4 promo code. QB, like quarterback, 500. Get a risk-free bet up to $500. My sportsbook of choice. Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano. It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, don't forget, Cause of Score tonight. Parks, Casino, Street Road, Ben Salem will be hanging out. We're going to dive deeply into the NFL games tonight. We're going to have Brad Feinberg, our handicapper, NBC Sports Philadelphia, on. We'll kind of dive deeply into these games, break it out, talk a little Eagles, because today was a big Sixer day, as you can well imagine. I find them utterly compelling and fascinating, and I appreciate you guys indulging me when I have on Gary Smith, who's, I find, just amazing. Like, he's really a thoughtful dude, and he's got a real gift at getting into the psyche of athletes and the teams, and that's what's such a conundrum with this team, right? I mean, think about it. They're supposed to be Philadelphia Tough. And at blush, when you look at them, they can be. But then you go into some of the flaws, and that's where, not really, right? Because Philadelphia Tough, you don't miss a game with a tummy ache because you ate too much Chick-fil-A. Or, you know, you're always playing the drama card. And I love Joe to death, but, you know, and he's brilliant. He's almost too smart for himself because, you know, he writes it in the Players Tribune, and he basically was yanking Charles' chain through that whole thing. But he could do that every night. That's the thing that drives people insane. So on one hand, you got a guy that can do it every night but doesn't. And on the other hand, you got a guy who does everything else and works hard and does everything and is tough and is a great defender and a great passer, but he doesn't shoot. It's like, that's crazy. That's why people are insane. Did you learn from that, Tunis?
I learned a lot. Very intellectual man. Much smarter than I am. By the way, we have more drama.
What do we
Speaking
got?
Of drama, you brought up the word drama.
Yeah.
Drew Rosenhaus is terminating his relationship with Antonio Brown. Surprised it took this long.
Yeah, well, all right.
I just wanted to give you the update.
That's a front runner.
The saga continues.
But that's a front runner move. That's a front runner move. Vinny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Vin.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Vin? Vin, you got Temple tickets, by the way, so hold on when we're done.
Oh, appreciate it.
Yeah, baby.
Listen, I keep hearing you to your guest. You referred back to the Toronto game. We was full bounces away from beating Milwaukee.
Yeah.
We were only going into overtime. You do realize that, right?
I mean, come on. You're giving me semantics.
No, I'm saying fact. You do realize
that. No, but you're giving me semantics, Vin.
All right.
I mean, come on, brother. You got to play. You got to go along with me there.
Bro, I can't.
I don't know. Again, you don't know the illusion, OT. You get my point.
No, I just can't agree with that.
Anyway,
in that same game, your man only shot the ball four times. A total four times in the whole game. Mind you, that's the last time we see him in a playoff game, correct?
Oh, but come on, dude. Like, he didn't have a good series? Because he did have a good series.
He shot four times.
All right. So he didn't play lockdown defense? Vin, listen, hold on. Let's continue. Hold on. Let's continue this tomorrow, but you're going to go see Temple. Hold on. That's right. Temple. It's meme night at the game, Wednesday, January 2nd. For tickets, owlsticks.com. Don't forget, Mikey Miss coming up next. And our handoff brought to you by, that's right, Philadelphia Hand and Shoulder Center. Go to PhiladelphiaHandAndShoulderCenter.com. For all hand, wrist, elbow, shoulder injuries and conditions. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you tonight from Parks Casino in Cousins Corner.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.